It says, now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any living creature of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, can it really be that God has said you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit from the tree of the garden, except the fruit from the tree which is in the middle of the garden. God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now she added a little piece in there because God never said anything about touching it. He just said, don't eat of it. Amen. Just like a woman. Oh, excuse me. See, I can say that because I am a woman. But the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil, blessing and calamity. I'm reading from the Amplified, if y'all. And when the woman saw that the tree was good, suitable, pleasant for food, and that it was delightful to look at, and a tree to be desired in order to make one wise desire. You know that, you know, like that cookie jar? Look, I got to touch that. It looked good, doesn't it? She took of the fruit and ate, and she gave some to her husband, and he did what? All right, he did eat. And then what happened? The eyes of them both were what? And they knew what? So they were doing some looking now. They were seeing. So what has God told us about looking at the natural? He said, what did he say? Let's, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. See, before they didn't know. If you read, if you go back a chapter or so, when God created them, he says they didn't even know they were naked. But when their eyes opened, they started looking from a natural aspect instead of a spiritual aspect. Amen? And that's what we have to stop. See, sometimes we look at things through our natural eyes instead of our spiritual eyes. We start seeing things that we don't need to see. We need to see the love of God. Amen? On everybody, in everybody. Amen? But what do we see? We see fault here. We see fault there. They didn't do this. They didn't treat me right. They didn't. Sometimes we do that. Amen? You know we do. I know I did. I'm just going to say it. I'm just going to be point blank. I did. I had to graduate. I had to be delivered. Listen, I was walking in some kind of a mess. Every time somebody did something, I thought they were doing it on purpose to me. You know, she walked by me, didn't speak. She don't like me. Did you hear them talking about me? Wasn't talking about me? You know what? They just don't treat me right. Why she always go to her first and never come to me? Don't even say nothing to me. That's where I was, because I was looking from a natural aspect instead of spiritual. So that's what happened in the garden when Eve and Adam ate of the fruit that they were forbidden. Amen. And let's read, keep reading. Let's go down here. Keep a reading. Okay, Brother Hagen. And let's go to verse 11. And it says, and he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? And the man said, the woman you gave me. He started blaming. Look at the blame game started. She gave me the fruit from the tree and I ate. And then the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. Blaming again, making excuses. And I ate. And the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all animals. And look at, do you see what, you see that right there? It said above all animals, but guess what? All animals were cursed right here. Now, what happened to the peace, the tranquility, the love? It disappeared as soon as they ate the fruit. Amen? Okay. And it says, and above all, every wild living thing of the field, upon your belly you shall go, and you shall eat the dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. And he will bruise and tread your head underfoot, and you will lie in wait and bruise his heel. Here is what God revealed to me. Come on, y'all, get this now. Because I almost jumped out my chair when he told me this. He said, get my voice clear. He said, when sin entered the world, it was like an explosion. Okay? It was like an explosion. Let me give you the definition of explosion. A large-scale, rapid, or spectacular expansion or bursting out or forth, bursting forth, burst outward, usually with a loud and sudden, vehement outburst. Sin made an abrupt entrance into this world. Did y'all hear me? An abrupt, intrusive entrance into this world. Sin was never invited. Did y'all hear me? Sin was never invited here. Sin made an abrupt, intrusive entrance into this world. And let me tell you, when sin entered, guess what else entered? Darkness and destruction, pain, fear, love left. Did y'all hear me? Love left. Evil, shame, blame, all came with that intrusive, abrupt entrance of sin. All of it came about. Amen? So let me tell you something, though. There was a man. His name was Jesus. And he came so that he could interrupt what sin had brought upon us. Amen? He dismantled sin. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5 and 20 says, for he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Amen? He came and dismantled sin in its intrusive, abrupt way. Sin, you ain't got nothing on me. Sin, you have nothing on me. So now, this is what God revealed to me about that piece. He said, Jesus' death was like an implosion. Now, listen to this. Now, how many demolition people out there? Anybody know anything about demolition? Okay. Implosion is something a little different from explosion. See, because explosion, when it exploded, just everywhere, all over the place, everything is touched. But implosion is when, let me give you a definition. I had such, oh man, I had a definition that was would knock your socks off. But I said, I'm going to bring it down a little bit. It says the act or action of bringing us to, as to a center, to burst inward. And then it says, let me give you a little more. It says a controlled demolition during which the entire building is imploded in a matter of seconds. Things are placed strategically to create a clean crumble. Okay? Now here's the part that got me. It says the strategic placing of materials and timing of its detonation. Does that sound like Jesus to you? Does that sound like Jesus to you? He had a strategic plan. Listen, let me tell you this. See, we always thought that Jesus was a backup plan. No. He was not a backup plan. He was the plan from the very beginning. Did y'all hear me? He was the plan from the very beginning. Yes, he was. You hear me? It says, a strategic placing of the explosive materials in a timing of its detonation so that the structure collapses on itself in a matter of seconds. But so he collapsed everything, sin, disease, sickness, poverty, all the things that we can name. A clean crumble. Did y'all hear me? A clean crumble. Glory to God. Listen, I told you I almost jumped off my chair when God showed that thing to me. A clean crumble and a strategic plan. Ha, glory to God. A strategic plan. So God already had a plan in place. It was not a backup. I want y'all to understand this thing. It was not a backup plan. It wasn't a plan B. It was the plan from the very foundation of the earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let me tell you what happened when his plan was put into place. Light was restored. Glory to God. John 1 and 4 says, in him was light, life, and the light was the light. The life was the light of men. Amen. Life was restored. John 3:15 says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Amen? Praise God. I'm on page 7. All right, I'm moving along. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. And then it says, if you guys will turn with me to 1 Corinthians, I'm reading the New International Version. This is 485 and 47.